The U.S. House's top overseer over federal law enforcement agencies thinks the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives has outlived its usefulness. Congressman James Sensenbrenner, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, says he plans to introduce legislation that would abolish the ATF and fold its current responsibilities into other federal agencies, including the FBI and the U.S. Marshals Service. His argument, if the ATF has been marred by high-profile blunders and its missions overlap with other agencies. Let's talk about it with John Adler. He is the national president of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association and takes a different view. John, always glad to have you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Jared. It's a pleasure to be on.
So what the congressman seemed to be saying, as his remarks were reported anyway, is he didn't really argue that ATF's mission isn't important, but rather there's no reason that the specialized things it does can't be absorbed into the FBI or somewhere else and basically get rid of the separate management structure, which has been troubled when you look at Fast and Furious and those kinds of things. What say you?
I think that the incidents that he identified, the ones that have been in public view, certainly aren't justification to dismantle a law enforcement agency that has specifically targeted violent crime, which should be a top priority for our country as well as the citizenry. Now, we all know there was controversy surrounding Fast and Furious and more recently the Milwaukee storefront issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the director, the newly confirmed director, was given an opportunity to respond, and he did. And he obviously responded with the proper checks in play to ensure that there won't be sort of any pattern coming out of that. So basically, problem identified and dealt with. But more importantly, we can't just simply minimize what the ATF has done and continues to do and simply sort of come to the conclusion that we can fold over like laundry their priority critical safety responsibilities to other law enforcement agencies. It's an incredible oversimplification. You don't just simply snap your fingers, say Shazam, and now the FBI, the Marshal Service, and the IRS absorb their responsibilities. There's a tremendous cost involved. There's expertise. What would actually happen if that did come to play? We'd probably have 50%, and right now I think one-third of the ATF workforce is eligible for retirement. They would, in fact, retire, because they would otherwise have to go through a full academy, whether it be the FBI or any other agency, but the FBI in this particular case trains out of Quantico. So they have to go through a full academy. They'd have to be absorbed into other offices, retrained, given equipment. There are a lot of expenses that Congressman Sensenbrenner did not identify. But I think first and most important, he's really sort of undermining or perhaps oversimplifying the accumulative expertise possessed by ATF, not just as an agency, but the men and women who enforce the law. You do need an agency that has that specific responsibility to focus on violent crime, gun trafficking, active shooter incidents. You can't just simply throw it on as a small finger on another hand. That would minimize its importance as well as its resources.
One of the things the Government Accountability Office pointed out this week in its report on ATF was that the agency's focus has changed quite a bit since 2003 when it moved over from Treasury to DOJ. And according to the numbers, you know, only half of 1% of their investigations now deal with alcohol or tobacco. And they're a lot more focused on what you said, the priorities around violent crime that DOJ has pointed them toward. So I guess my question is, why would changing the boxes on the organizational chart below the Attorney General, since everybody's reporting up to the AG now anyway, why would that make much of a difference other than eliminating some additional overhead?
It would be a tremendous expense in terms of the transition. It wouldn't happen overnight. This would actually take years to accomplish. But the thing is this, that ATF, and you know, we've all sort of had to make that tremendous adjustment post 9/11. Obviously, the FBI is focusing primarily on terrorism, where historically they were really the leaders in the white-collar investigative community, and still are, but their resources had to shift, as every other agency's resources had to properly shift in this post 9/11 world that we're living in. And in the case of ATF, the problem would be that if you simply chop shop their investigative responsibilities, each of them are going to lose priority funding. They're going to lose priority focus. Because if you put them under a new roof, there are many rooms in one roof, and they're all competing for resources. They all have different management structures. And you're really sort of undermining the critical importance of what one agency does. You know, the same difference with the Marshal Service. If we didn't have the Marshal Service pursuing, you know, the most dangerous, despicable human beings on their regional fugitive task forces, a lot of these people would be running around and the public would be, you know, in tremendous danger and more people would get hurt and killed. We need the Marshal Service dedicated on that. They are the best in doing it, and they can't be absorbed elsewhere. Similarly, with the ATF, they are experts in gun trafficking, in bomb and arson investigations, as well as focusing on violent crime and violent gangs who exploit these physical tools to accomplish their objectives. If you move them into a larger agency, let's just say the FBI, whose primary responsibility is terrorism, the ATF mission, not that it will be minimized or it will become lost, it just can't sustain the same emphasis. That is bureaucracy 101. It will not have the same priority as it does as a standalone agency. And because of the nature of what ATF does in protecting public safety, it has to remain as a standalone agency so that the emphasis and the priority is on funding an agency with that critically important mission. It can't get lost in a larger bureaucracy.
You mentioned that the new director a little bit ago, and I think one of the other notable things about ATF is it went a long time without a permanent director before Todd Jones was finally confirmed last year, which probably has something to do with the interesting politics we have around firearms. But how much of a difference did that make in the agency's operations, you know, before and after with acting directors, vice permanent director now?
Yeah, that's a good point, Jared, and I think it makes a tremendous difference. You know, I flash back to my days in school when the regular teacher was out and they put a substitute teacher in there. You know, and that substitute teacher sat in front of the room and you know, kids threw airplanes at them. Not that in sort of that sequence or period people were throwing paper airplanes, but the point is there's a credibility issue. There's a credibility issue that resonates not just with the kids in the class and the parents, but outside. And I think the same sort of thing applies, that not having a permanent director during that period of time did create a credibility issue. Now, it was fortunate that Director Jones was acting or was there in an acting capacity to sort of help resurrect a lot of the concerns and challenges that came out of Fast and Furious. And he's done a good job, but the road ahead is still steep, and there's still a climb to be had in terms of administrative fixes and maybe some leadership issues across the country. But it is important to allow him the opportunity now as a permanent director to build the organization to get the priority funding it deserves, and not simply attack and recommend dismantling an agency that factors so critically into public safety. You know, Jared, the crazy thing is that, you know, sometimes the men and women out in the field, the risks from legislative missiles are greater to their wellness and the bullets from a criminal's gun. And I think that soundbite warfare has to stop. Let these folks do what they do best, which is catch real bad guys and keep the public safe.
Let me switch gears slightly to one of those specific challenges that the director is going to face, because another element of that GAO report this week zeroed in on the staffing challenges there. You know, not much hiring over the past several years.
Right.
I think the figure is about a quarter eligible to retire right now and another 20% by 2018, smallest workforce they've had in 8 years. What are you seeing as far as the agency gradually starting to hire again, and what can help there?
Well, Jared, you know, we sort of survived this terrible sequester, 3-year sort of funding freeze, and again, the wrath of what occurred this past year, and even in terms of furloughs that took place for some of our federal law enforcement officers. The outlook is a lot better now. You know, all law enforcement agencies, or at least most, should be in a position to hire to recoup what we've lost by way of the hiring freeze and attrition. In the case of ATF, you're absolutely right. They're at a critical point where they are postured to lose a significant part of their workforce, which obviously, it's not just the numbers, Jared, it's the quality of their experience that goes with them that you can't simply replace with a new hire. So the concern is, well, the concern has been, obviously, their numbers, and yet they've somehow still produced tremendous results. But I think things will get better if they are funded to at least keep pace with attrition and not sort of be stuck at their 1970 complement level, which really disables them in terms of carrying out their formidable mission.